Stephen, our emphasis last week was on probably the first half of chapter 2, from verse 5 through verse 10. Today our emphasis will be on verse 11. Hebrews chapter 2. We'll start with verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for or on behalf of every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And the emphasis I want to give today is that the mark of oneness with Jesus is sanctification. Now, these books you're reading on abiding in Christ and union with Christ, oneness with Christ, are so very timely for this lesson. The mark of oneness, the mark of abiding in Christ, the mark of unity with Christ is sanctification. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. The wherefore refers to the fact that this is so great salvation, of which salvation the prophets inquired, searched diligently. They prophesied of the grace that would come, but themselves didn't have a good understanding of it. And it was not revealed to them, is now revealed to us. Unto us they did minister these truths, even though they themselves didn't really see it as we see it today. So, with such privilege, with such revelation, with such a honor to have entered into understanding by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, being at the right place at the right time, that we have an understanding of salvation in a way the prophets who prophesied of it did not understand. So gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's twice this morning we've run into that concept, isn't it? In Galatians chapter 1, Paul talks about that. How did he say it? The gospel that he preached was not after man, verse 2, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The gospel that fills the pages of these epistles came by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And now we're talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ again in verse 13. And as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, or that could be all manner of behavior, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. This is not equal in stature, but like in nature. We have been partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, Paul talked about a strange gospel. We're going to read more here, so keep your place. Another Jesus, and said, let anybody that preaches any other gospel but that gospel which I preach, that I got by the revelation of Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. And the gospel that he preached was a gospel of sanctification, and we're going to be reading many verses of Scripture from Paul's writings today. But now we're hearing through Peter, the Lord admonished, be ye holy, for I am holy. The gospel that's being preached today, that is not according to the gospel of Paul, is that nobody can be holy. That everybody is going to struggle with sin the rest of their life in thought, word, and deed, every day a sinner. That's not the gospel that was preached by Paul. Paul would not tell you that Jesus died to make holiness unnecessary. And that's the gospel that's preached today. That Jesus died and gave you a positional standing with God that makes holiness unnecessary. And that through some kind of an atonement that covers a misinterpretation of the atonement, that you have a right standing with God regardless of your conduct, which makes so many admonitions of the Scriptures redundant, absolutely unnecessary. The gospel that Paul preached says that Jesus died to make holiness possible, not unnecessary. The atonement was made to change the nature of the sinner and not the nature of sin, to where sin in a Christian is acceptable to God and sin in a sinner is not acceptable to God. No. Jesus died to make holiness possible, not unnecessary. Verse 17, and if you call him a father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Not in false assurance. But we can pass the time of our sojourning here in full assurance of faith. We find that out later in the book of Hebrews. Full assurance of faith. Embracing the gospel that comes by the revelation of Jesus Christ and his complete and finished work on Calvary's cross, leaving nothing for purgatory to make up. Nothing. It's done. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And I suggest that you read verse 24 and 25 in conjunction with Romans 1:16, that says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And just let me look over here for any who might want to look that up to be sure that's the right verse. Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Now, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. A gospel presented for believing, not to be brought down and modified to the average experience in our circles. No. But to be believed until we, by believing and by gazing upon him, are transformed into his likeness, being made conformable to his death. Chapter 2, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. What is that doing? That's mortifying the flesh. What does that mean? Suppressing? Nope. Suppressing is the wrong direction. If you're going in the direction of suppressing the lust of the flesh or suppressing the desire to envy and to speak evil, to pretend, and so on, that's not the road to victory. That's a long, hard road which will never lead to the eradication of the flesh. But what does mortify the flesh? It entails laying aside malice, guile, hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speaking. But in what spirit? In the spirit of faith. Believing. Reckoning it to be true that I'm dead indeed unto sin, because God said that's what the work of Calvary did for the repentant sinner. Makes him a new creature in Christ. And a description of the gospel that Paul preached by the revelation of Jesus Christ, apart from the tradition of the fathers, was the power of God unto salvation, and all things were passed away, and all things were become new. And all things, and the reckoning of the born-again man is according to the gospel. All things becoming new. All things passing away. All things becoming new, all things passed away. Behold, Now, I want to say that verse, if I can get my tongue untangled here. Behold, let me look at it. Isn't it 2 Corinthians 5? 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. I tried to say it and couldn't get it started, so I wanted to read it so that you'll know that that's past tense. It's not a continuous action. Not all things are passing away. Behold, all things are become new. All are become new. And all are of God. All right? Now, we are in chapter 2. Of 1 Peter. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You see, none of the ways of salvation from what was accomplished before the foundations of the world in the mind of God makes sense to human reasoning. Even a reference to before the foundations of the world don't make sense to human reasoning. But this living stone was disallowed of men. That's Psalms 118. The elders rejected the choice of God. But he became the cornerstone of the whole thing. And this is the day that the Lord hath made, that we rejoice and are glad in it. And chosen of God and precious is that stone. Ye also, verse 5, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Now there is nothing precious about a salvation that leaves you in a continual struggle with sin the rest of your life. But he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Why they stumble at the word? Being disobedient. Why doesn't the word make sense concerning so great salvation? Because of disobedience. Why is there disobedience? Because there is something we want more than we want God's provision, which is an all-sufficient provision. But ye are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. How do we show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light? Through our talents, through playing instruments, through our whatever our ability to memorize? No, it's by a manifestation of truth in our mortal flesh of being free from sin. And joyfully victorious over that which held us in bondage all the days of our life, not only sins but fear of death, because we have so fully turned to Him and are so preoccupied with Him that that which held us in bondage died through neglect. I love putting it that way. You're called out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. In Romans chapter 8, I think verse 11, it says, the Spirit Himself beareth witness that we are the children of God. So just, here's two terms. You are the people of God. You are the people that say to the world, there's a holy God. You are the children that say to the world that God is a holy Father. You are now the people of God which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. That is the most natural admonition. It would be an unnatural and unreasonable admonition if it were not representative of the truth of salvation. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants. Oh, I thought we were free. So you see, this is not talking about a freedom from slavery, or freedom, civil freedom, governmental, some kind of a, you know, freedom that like we've enjoyed in America. That's not talking about that. It's talking about freedom from sin. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it and you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Because he's going to, in that kind of a frame of reference, he's going to get glory to his name. Out of that dark frame of reference will come that which makes God look like God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. You will not hear these verses mentioned in the new gospel. In that other Christ, the preaching of that other Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Oh my. I tell you, you're talking about freedom right there. Just in these kind of situations, we just do it like Jesus did it. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to worry about, I'm going to be somebody's doormat. Somebody's going to take advantage of me. I'm not going to get what I deserve. Oh, you ought to be glad that you're not going to get what you deserve. And we trust Him who judges righteously. That's it. What if I die and I never see justice in this matter or that matter? Just die trusting Him who judges righteously. He will judge right. And without pride, there is no contention. Without pride, there is no contention. So what's that got to do with it? Everything. It's got to do with what we're talking about right here. Pride will hinder you from trusting Him who judges righteously. You're going to want to be sure you come out looking good to whoever's looking on. This, whatever scenario is going on. Who? His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That's not only physical, that is spiritual. For you were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Revelations, just a few pages over. Chapter 1, beginning with the second part of verse 5. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, the people of God, or the children of God, are a sanctified people. Acts 20:32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Now, the word sanctified in your Strong's Concordance is number 37, hagiazo, and it means holy, to them which are holy. It has to do, the first use of the word is freedom. That's another word I'm going to read in a minute. This is holy. Acts 26:15. Paul is telling about his experience on the road to Damascus. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now again, this word sanctified is holy. And then this word forgiveness, you'll find 859 in your concordance. I won't try to say it, I won't say it right, but it means freedom. Freedom, deliverance, pardon, liberty. Open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive freedom of sins, liberty, deliverance, and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. 1 Corinthians 1:2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Jude 1:1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. 1 Peter 1:1-2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Sanctification is the plan and will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Sanctification is the will of God. Sanctification is the work of Jesus at Calvary. Hebrews 10:10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Sanctification. It's not produced by human effort. Sanctification is the work of Jesus at Calvary. Sanctification is the will of God. Sanctification has always been the will of God. And it is accomplished for us. It is accomplished in us. By the work of another, once for all. Ephesians 5:25-27. Why are there not more people that illustrate the truth of sanctification? The answer is the same as why were not more of the children of Israel crossing the Jordan River into the promised land? Why did so many die in the wilderness? And the answer is an evil heart of unbelief. The answer is not a God who could not have brought them out of Egypt and into the promised land all in 1 month, all in 1 trip. It wasn't him. The answer was the people. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Who are they talking about? They're talking about the ones that God told them to go in and conquer. Would an all-wise God send a people in to conquer a people they could not conquer? Of course not. It comes down to faith. The faith that's in Jesus Christ, the faith that was in Paul, which was the same faith that was in Jesus Christ. Sanctification is the work of Jesus at Calvary once for all. Why is it not entered into? Why is it not embraced? Why is it not preached? Why is another gospel raised up in the place of the real gospel to explain this absence of people who are not under the dominion of sin in the church? Unbelief. Unbelief. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Titus 2:14. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Sanctification for the children of God or the people of God was done at Calvary and is received by faith. And the thing that we believe is the thing we act like is true. The thing we believe is the thing we act like is true. What God has done for us in Christ is a very glorious and serious matter. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28. Now, this is a direct reference to the gospel which Paul preached. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, or counted it as common blood, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Now, that's obviously a reference back. Verse 19 of chapter 5, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And where sin abounds, where the offense abounds, where sin is seen for what it is, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, now, sin reigned unto what? Unto death. And so when we get down to verse 2 of chapter 6, and it says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's a reference to that death. sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. How can that be? By Jesus Christ our Lord. By Jesus Christ our Lord. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God. By Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Is that what we're talking about? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that all of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Now, if you're reading along in the King James, I'm leaving out all the added words. These are words that you wouldn't find in a concordance unless you used a, what's it called? There's one concordance that's got all the added words in it, but it's all in a section of its own. And it's a Strong's, but it's a, no. I'm sorry, can't remember the name of it. Okay. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified in union with Him, that the body of sin be destroyed, that henceforth we not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him. What are we talking about? We're talking about both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. What could cause a person to do that? Unbelief. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Not only an unbelief on the part of what God has said and what God has done, but it is love on the part of man for the sin, the lust, the behavior, the self-serving, prideful thing. It is a preference to that liberty in Christ which can only be lived out having died with Him. I don't want to die with Him. I want to watch out for myself. I want to protect myself. I want to be sure all my rights are intact. I want what I want. And I don't want to be dead to to the temporal offers. I hate the consequences of my sin. Over and over and over, I look back through my lifetime and I hate the consequences of my sin. And I ask myself, why do you do that? And theologians will come up with answers that make you not responsible for that. It's your problem, but it's not your fault. But the Bible won't give you any such answer. Because we are crucified with Christ. We live, yet not us, but Christ lives in us. The life we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God. What's the faith of the Son of God like? He trusted Him when He was reviled. Who judges righteously? It's kind of a backwards way of saying it, but when He was reviled, He reviled not again. Trusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. He was dead to the outcome as far as His personal response. It would only be a response toward God. It would not be a response toward the reviler. How can you do that? That reviler standing right in your face. That reviler threatening your security. That reviler, if he gets his way, is going to violate your rights. That reviler is going to leave you vulnerable to the devourer. What are you going to do? Well, you can fix it yourself. You can stand for your rights. You can do what the strength of the flesh can do. You can use what strength you have, what authority that you have. But you'll lie down in sorrow. Or you can trust Him who judges righteously. When Jesus was reviled, and He reviled not back again, and the reviler walks off, and the crowd that saw it walks off, what's the crowd that saw it talking about? They're saying, did you see that? That quimp. Those guys just made Him look like mincemeat. And I even heard He was God. See? Okay. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. Verse 13, neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, for sin shall not have a dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. You're not alive to the law. You're not alive to works. There is nothing you have to do with your body for the outcome to be victorious. That which makes the outcome victorious was already done in the body of Christ. Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then free, or then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. We'll come back to that verse. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, made free from sin, and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The most powerful way for me of understanding freedom from sin is revealed in verses 20 and 18 of chapter 6. Not how. That's what we want to know, is how can it be? Mary, you're going to give birth to a son, but I've not known a man. How can it be? See? And the answer was, not anything reasonable to the human family. The Holy Ghost is going to move upon you, and you're going to conceive. Did she have to go do something for that to be true? Or did she have to believe? She just said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." She believed. And she set out to go tell Elizabeth, "I'm pregnant." She believed. Now, when you were servants, verse 20, of sin, you were free from righteousness. I'll tell you, that is that everybody in the church understands that verse. Everybody. Whatever gospel is preached, everybody understands that verse, that when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. And right there, you can stand up and declare that and get the whole church to say, "Amen." Just raise the roof. The apostate church will say amen. The other Jesus church will say amen. The other gospel church will say amen. And the true church will say amen. Everybody. But on verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. There's not many amens. Because it's both verses are the same grammar with a different arrangement of nouns. Same grammar. Not a different arrangement, but just different nouns. How free from righteousness were we when we were servants of sin? How free from righteousness were we? Did we struggle to keep sinning? Did we struggle against righteousness to keep on sinning? And you just reverse that process, and the same truth is brought out in verse 18. We are as free from sin in verse 18 as we were free from righteousness in verse 20. We are servants of righteousness in verse 18 in the same way that we were servants of sin in verse 20. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. Chapter 2, Colossians, verse 10. And ye are complete in him, and in him you have your fullness, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are raised with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Hebrews 10, verse 10. By the which will, a reference to the cross, up in verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God, to die on the cross, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, completed. Chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The author and finisher of our faith. These scriptures, these verses of scripture show us that there is nothing that Jesus did not do for us in his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. There is nothing to add to it, not human endeavor, not money to get a loved one out of purgatory. Purgatory is an offense to the triumphant victory and deliverance of Christ of every sinner who will believe. Hath accomplished fully by his death, burial, and resurrection and ascension. John 8:31, then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How free? As free as you were of righteousness when you were a slave to sin. That free from sin in him, by him, through him, of him, both he that sanctifieth and he that is sanctified are of one. Would you stand with me?